Welcome to LifeRx Podcast, a show about living consciously in all aspects of your life with authenticity and integrity. I'm Eva Patel. Welcome again to the show. Hope you had a wonderful week, and today's show is about turning your passion into a career. Our format today is unique and different. Cheryl Broussard will interview me on how I turned my passion into a career. As you listen to my story, perhaps it will awaken you to follow your passion and turn it into your career. And right after the break, we'll begin the interview.
Cheryl.
Hi, Eva. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for doing the reverse interviewing process today.
I know we're going to have a great time. And of course, when you asked me, I thought, you know what? I love interviewing, so this is not going to be any problem whatsoever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I feel that, you know, everybody needs to turn their passion into a career, and I did that. And so, you know, interviewing me was the best person to interview for turning your passion into a career.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, you've done it. And me too. You know, I've turned my passion into my career. So I think we both have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge that we can share with everyone.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So let's get started then. So do you want to talk a little bit about your passion right now?
Yeah, well, basically what was my passion was ever since I was a little child, I've always loved the beauty industry. And you know, I used to love to read magazines, you know, look at different things, but it was beauty, and it wasn't just superficial beauty. I was always looking at facial features and skin and eyes, and then the whole health and wellness thing was very intriguing to me. I just felt that, you know, what we ate, what we did, how we spoke, what we thought, you know, your religious beliefs, all of that played a real big role in your health and wellness. And I think ever since I was a little child, I was always a little bit older than the rest, you know, always thinking of different things. But I kind of knew I wanted to do something in the health and beauty industry. So that's what my passion was. And even though I did a little bit of a detour, I got back to that.
Amazing. So when you talk about your detour, what did you do that kind of took you off path?
So basically, when I knew I wanted to go into skincare and stuff, I know my mother really wanted to push me into something more of a career, which was medicine. And so I did go into medicine, and I was a surgical assistant for over 10 years. And I almost felt it was a little bit of a detour to get to where I wanted. But what I gained along the way was a lot of knowledge and skills that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And, you know, deep inside, as I researched even in the health industry, I knew there was an inner voice, a small voice that always pushed me into, you know, how could you do this that would be different, and how could you always keep that little bit of a edge on. Even though I was working in medicine, aesthetics played a big role in my inner knowing, and so I always pushed myself there. And I worked in surgery as a surgical assistant for over 10 years and worked at actually 106 different places. And the latter few years, I completely went into plastic surgery, and because I didn't want to do the on-call and all that stuff. But one of the things that I learned about plastic surgery was that it didn't matter how much you pulled, nipped, and tucked skin, old people were still looking old with just stretched skin. And I thought, God, wouldn't it be great if there was something where you could stop the skin or slow down the process of the aging? And and that's how I kind of started looking into medical aesthetic skincare.
That's amazing. And you know what? Sometimes I think we think it's a detour, but really it isn't, because exactly in medical training, it prepared you for what, you know, for being in skincare.
Oh, absolutely. I felt that the 10 years of the knowledge that I had and the experience that I had, I could never have taken skincare to the level that I took it at without that. And it was all hands-on, really understanding anatomy and physiology and biology and the whole thing. And so it was a very nice detour that I did to get me to where I wanted to get. So there are no coincidences.
Mm-mm, I believe that. So just based on what you've told me, what would you say, though, are really your gifts and your talents? What are you really good at?
I would say that basically my biggest gift is communication, and I have a great way of communicating whatever it is through words, obviously, that's mm-hmm. one of them. The other thing that I have a great thing that comes to me very naturally is creation. I have this natural ability to create something from nothing. And I know I experiment in my kitchen all the time, but one of the things I know is if I had to whoop up a meal, I could just take what's in my pantry and my fridge and I could come up with a gourmet meal. And it's just, I don't have to put too much effort, I just trust. Mm-hmm. And so I almost feel like I've got this little alchemy side within me that kind of comes out when I'm in a creation mode. So I would say that's a very big skill that I've had. And I've never really tapped into the creativity at the level that I did when I started skincare, because to me, skincare is a little bit like cooking. It's like once you understand your ingredients, you know, in cooking you have your ingredients and your spices according to taste. Well, in mm-hmm. skincare, it's according to, you know, what you want it to do. And it's the same thing that, you know, you can really understand your ingredients, your core ingredients, and then build a product upon that. And it's not just the ingredients, because, you know, they're available to everybody. It's the delivery system. So, mm-hmm. you know, like you take a chef, you know, a chef has the same ingredients that everybody else has. How comes, you know, he can cook something that's so great? It's because of the energy that they put into it. And I realized that, you know, I had this great energy that when I put it to proper use, it was, it could create magic. And that's basically what I started doing. The other thing is I realized I had inner charisma. I was trustworthy. You know, I was very hardworking. I never gave up. And I believe that that was like a really blessing, you know, to have. And it was funny because when I got into skincare, everybody that I met, it was like, so I always ask people, what made you go into skincare? And they'd be like, oh, I had terrible skin and I cleared my skin up, so I want to help others. And I thought, God, why did I get into it? Because I had flawless skin. But I got into it because I wanted to stay that way. I didn't mm-hmm. want to be the one on the plastic surgery table having anything done. I wanted to make sure I stayed young. And I really started my quest in my late 20s. And, you know, 20 years later, I can say I haven't aged much.
That's
so something is working.
Yeah, exactly. It's your skincare product. You're fabulous.
Well, thank you.
For the listeners who are listening to this call, what about, you know, what would you tell them in terms of how do they find their own passion and their gifts and their talents? Is there anything in particular that you would say to someone who says, you know, I don't know what my passion is and I don't know what my gifts and talents are? Is there any one thing that you might be able to share with us on how they could find that?
Well, I think it's so important that you spend time with yourself. And I think when you spend time with yourself, you reflect on what gives you joy. And when we find that inner joy in whatever it is, like I know for me it was creation, so and making things. So whatever it is that gives you joy, you know, whether it be sports, whether it be doing sewing, whether it be cooking, whether it be, you know, you really like crunching numbers. I mean, I have a friend's son who loves math, you know, so whatever it is, find what it is that really gives you a lot of joy. And then start writing. Start writing about what gives you joy and start seeing the patterns come up. So if you're absolutely clueless as to what your passion is, just start writing, you know, what makes you happy? What gives you immense right. joy? You know, and I know that there's women that have turned careers party planning, event planning. They love planning events and they turned it into a business. You know, whatever it is, find what really gives you a lot of joy and pleasure. Mm-hmm. And then turn that into a business. And some people accidentally get into businesses, and that's fine as well. But if you're not really enjoying it and you're not really happy researching it, then that's not your passion. If you really get in, you forget time and space when you're really researching about something, then you're passionate about it. So, you know, I think passion really makes something a success. I mean, anybody can do a business, I think. Everybody's got the skills, and today with all the tools and the social media, anybody can make something happen, but it's the passion behind it that makes it that much more enchanting.
Exactly. Yeah, why would you want to go into business in something that you don't
absolutely. So look at what you've done. You know, let's take, for example, what you've done. Here you are leaving a career in finance to start mm-hmm. writing, but it yes. was a passion that you had, and you followed your heart, and today you've turned that into a career, and you're really having fun, and it doesn't seem like work. See, I believe, you know, when you start a business, I have to say, I used to belong to San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and I remember going to some of the meetings, and people used to be like, well, I started my business because I want to work part-time. Well, if you want to start a business to work part-time, don't get into business, because business is a 24/7 commitment. And
yes,
one of the things that I know is when you're passionate about something, you're thinking about it all the time. It's part of your being. It's part of your living. It becomes an extension of you. Like, I don't have, oh, my God, I work in business this time, and I spend personal time here. I meditate here. Mine's one big, beautiful flow because I turned it into one big, beautiful flow. There are times when I have to put a lot more energy into my work, but if I didn't have the harmony with my other aspects of my life, I wouldn't be able to be in harmony and in balance within myself. Does that make sense? So,
oh, absolutely.
Really,
and I'm so glad you're mentioning this, because
that is so important. It is so important that it's an extension of who we are. Now, I'm not saying that I was there from day one. Years ago, I used to think, okay, you know, there was a part of me that was a businesswoman, a part of me that was a wife and a homemaker, and there was a part of me that was spiritual. And it took me a good decade to really blend and balance and really find bits that didn't fit and be able to release them in order to allow other things to fit. And that there is, it's a flow, and I really believe that, you know, if you choose to turn your career into passion, and now I'm not just talking business, even if you work for a company, and you work for a company that really matches your values and your core values and who you are, we learn from others. You know, it's all about relationships, and I believe that, you know, business or career is all about building these relationships and really building the relationship with your passion and then using it as your career footprint into the world. And I think that's really what's going to make you very good at what you do. And this is added oomph that you give it. You know, that's all I can say. And it creates the environment that you're looking for. So, you know, people who come to me and occasionally will say, oh, well, you know, I'm doing something. I'm just doing it because it pays the bills. You shouldn't work to pay the bills, because first and foremost, you're getting nothing out of it, and you're killing a part of you.
Yeah.
So you should work to make a living, and you should learn to live as well at the same time.
Exactly. And that actually
and I think
ages
that's
you
the
too.
Difference, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, it's just getting back to your the skincare or your how you look, you know, when you're not happy and let's say, you know, you are working for money and you're not enjoying it, you know, eventually that starts to wear and tear on you and your body and your skin, and you start to look older than what you really were.
When I owned and operated my clinic and saw all the clients, I can tell you, even just by looking at them, I'll tell you how happy they are. Because, of course, those that are unhappy, you can see it in their face.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, and then they're going out there spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on themselves and trying to look good, feel good. But it's not the stuff that makes you look and feel good. It's you and what you believe in and what you do. So it's very important that, you know, work is something that we spend so much time doing, our career, our life. It becomes an extension of you. And did you know that if you went for an interview and there were two people interviewing for a job, one had a lot of passion and charisma but less education, and the other had the perfect qualification but they had the charisma of a sewer rat, you know who's going to get the job?
The one
with the passion and the enthusiasm.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's how enthusiastic are you and how much do you want. It's not just your IQ, as our past show had said. It's your emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
So I believe having passion in what you're doing, and even if you get into a job where you're not so passionate about it, find ways to get passionate about it. And if you can't find any way to be passionate, then start looking for another job, because you're not serving yourself or your employer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So getting back to, you know, your medical career, was it hard for you to leave your medical career and start your own skincare?
Well, I have to say it was. It was the thing is, I think in the medical career, you know, you realize it's prestigious, it's a nice career, it pays very well, it's solid, it's going to be there forever. So, yes, it was a little scary, but I knew deep inside there was something that was telling me that I needed to do something in the beauty industry, because it was really pulling me in that direction. But what I really started doing is, as I started really going deeper in, I knew that I was looking for a way that I could take some of the knowledge that I had learned. I didn't want to waste the 10 years, so I wanted to find a way that I could bridge the gap between medicine and aesthetics. And, you know, working with the plastic surgeons, I was realizing that there was nothing available that they could use, even after they had their facelifts or they had laser treatments. There was really nothing out there that they could use to enhance what they have just spent their money and time doing. So for me,
that's amazing.
At the time, I mean, this was like late 80s, early 90s. I mean,
right. There
were a few things, but it wasn't like, wow, you know, it was not as readily available as today. So for me, I knew that there was a way that I could take some of my knowledge and bridge the gap between medicine and aesthetics and come up with something that really would be kind of an added benefit after they'd had certain procedures. So that was really what kept me going. Even though it was difficult leaving the medical career, once I knew that I could find cosmeceutical, quote-unquote, skincare, then it made it a little easier for me.
And maybe can you give us what is a cosmeceutical? What is the difference between that and
the cosmeceutical basically was an area, it was kind of a gray area between cosmetics and pharmaceuticals. And basically what it was that, you know, certain ingredients in order to be approved by FDA as a pharmaceutical had to go through X amount of testing. And obviously there was lots of red tape and stuff that went on as well. But there were certain ingredients that made it right to the top, but then they couldn't approve them for certain, you know, political reasons. So these ingredients were very good ingredients and readily available to be used in products, but they weren't able to use them in pharmaceuticals. So since they were available, the cosmetic companies started taking them on, and you know, chemists started working with different preparations and using some of these really good quality, high-end raw materials to create topical over-the-counter preparations, and that's how the term cosmeceutical came up. It was a step above what you were buying at the drugstore and not quite. It was in between the cosmetics and the pharmaceuticals, but they couldn't make the claims. That was the big drawback. So that's how cosmeceuticals became this very big arena, because there was so much ingredients available for them.
I see. Great. Excellent. Yeah, I think a lot of people are confused about that.
So gap of the medicine and the aesthetics, it was really required that you had efficacy and results, because that's what people were searching for. And for me, you know, obviously coming up with the name SkinRx, I knew it had to speak for itself, that, you know, it had to be kind of something that had great efficacy and results. To me, that was a given. I wanted to even give more value-added benefit.
Excellent. So after you left your career, you began your own clinic. Now, how hard was that?
And what I did was I was working, obviously, with a lot of plastic surgeons, and when I got the idea of teaching patients after they'd had plastic surgery or procedures how to take care of their skin, I was able to convince, you know, some of the plastic surgeons I was working with to set up clinics within their offices. So I set up about 6 clinics in San Francisco, and I actually worked at them, you know, a day a week at each one and really grew them. But that deep inner intuition kept pushing me to want more. And once I built their clinics up, that they were able to hire their own full-time people. So I kind of babied them until I grew them. And I really realized that what I wanted to do was bring out a little bit more of the aesthetic and the luxury. So I knew I kind of had to get out of that controlled clinical environment. So it's not that didn't want to work out of the environment. It's that I wanted to bring in a little bit more of the aesthetic and luxury and have a little bit of both, a blend of the two. And that's what made me want to start my own clinic. And there was one plastic surgeon in particular, Dr. Gary Friedman, who took me under his wings and gave me the opportunity to work within his office and start my clinic.
That's
how I got started.
Really? I know. That was a pretty big leap for you, and I know you had to have some challenges. How did you overcome them? Did you have any challenges?
Well, of course. Everybody has challenges. So I didn't even know where I was leaping. I just jumped right in when the opportunity knocked. So when I got the opportunity to start my clinic within his office, I just thought it was such a great opportunity. I just literally dived in. And, of course, I hit challenges. First and foremost, I didn't even know anything about business. So it's like I had to start. Talk about grassroots. It's like a weekend course and let's read a book on how to write a business plan. Didn't even know how to do that I need a business license and I need this and I need that. All I knew is I thought I had a name and I could get started. But it was a challenge after a challenge. But what I learned was that each challenge was really an experience that kind of allowed me to grow and learn and be better. And I overcame a lot of my hurdles because I had such a direct divine connection with God. And I just trusted that each obstacle that was there for me to overcome so that I would learn and grow. So, you know, there was that strong belief that, you know, I was guided by God that got me there. And, you know, after 4 years of being with Dr. Friedman, I so outgrew their office, and I actually took another plunge, and 4 years later, I actually built my own clinic in Union Square. We were right above Bulgari, and it was a beautiful space, and I don't even know what made me do it, but I literally put my life savings into it, and so it was almost like starting ground zero again, but it was the most beautiful facility that was around there, and it just gave me so much joy to be able to take that second leap to even grow more. So that was just a really beautiful thing. But, yeah, challenges came, and I just always trusted that I'd get through them.
Yeah.
And I never took no for an answer.
Yeah, that's important for people to know that, you know, when you are in business, and whether you're just getting started or you've been in it for a very long time, there are always going to be challenges. And the key
And I think part of my, through my 18 years of the ups and downs, and I've had some major health issues as well, and I've had to really step back. And one of the things that I can say is never give up. Mm-hmm. Always believe in yourself. And even when you're down, never stop believing in yourself. Never take no for an answer, and know that you can always turn a no into a yes. And just know that you know, you have to keep working hard. It's and really, there is no easy road to success. And one thing I did do is I went to several success seminars and learned that overnight success takes about 10 to 12 years. That was a little hard, because I really thought I could do it a lot quicker, but I realized you have to go through your growth spurts very gradually and smartly, otherwise you can fall flat on your face.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, there are times, there are times when you have to pull back as well. And you know, when the economy's going down, that's not a time to do a big marketing campaign and a push, because you know you'll fall flat on your face. Just slow down a little bit when the economy's gone down or whatever, and just hold space and kind of chuggle along until things are better, and then you do another push.
Exactly. And you also, you know, talk to people. You talk to other business owners, and so you make sure you network with people.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, and
and belong to associations and things like
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I used to belong to the Union Square Association, you know, mingle with other people within the area. And there are great associations out there for everything. I used to belong to like 10 of these women organizations, and I loved it. It was just such a great space to be, where I could be in my element and my essence and being a career at the same time. So that's why when you follow your passion, everything just kind of starts unfolding for you anyway.
Exactly. And you know what? There's always different organizations and associations for each different trade. So whether it's skincare or it's cooking or, you know, computers, there's an association that you can join. And so people do need to realize that, you know, you want to make sure you network and build those relationships. Because when you are going through these bad periods, that you have someone to talk to and share information with. And you just never know where someone could give you one idea
that
can help to turn your business around.
I know. And then the other thing is, you know, back in the 90s, like when I started, there wasn't, I mean, okay, we had internet, but we didn't have social media, and we didn't have what we have available today. I mean, today it's so easy to connect with people. There are great resources on the internet. There are great kind of like meeting places even. I mean, I think LinkedIn is great. You know, it's just great to have all these resources at our fingertips, but nothing takes the space of personal interaction.
I agree.
Whether it's at networking at business mixers or going to local community events, or just that personal touch is still very, very needed. And depending on what career you're in, just reaching out even to people within your own company, you'd be surprised at how people can send links to you, or people can just refer people to you. That could change your life. And I think that's a very important aspect of your career that you shouldn't give up on. A lot of successful careers I've noticed when even within a company people are interacting with each other. I think it's really important to have that interaction.
I agree. Yes. So once you got your clinic up and running, what would you say, what did you learn most through your clients and your customers?
Well, I have to say that one of the things that I learned, I did a survey once to ask, what could I do to serve you better? And one of the the most one that came up the most was that I wish we found you earlier. So I thought, okay, what does that mean? That if they found me earlier, they wouldn't have aged. So that's fine. But go deeper. What is it that they're really asking for? And I started asking clients that, you know, what was it? And what I realized was that, you know, when you're treating people, they talk to you, they open up to you. And I had an opportunity to serve. To selflessly serve and touch people's lives. I know I had the gift of communication. I knew that there were certain words. I mean, I was definitely very philosophical anyway in my thinking and my living. And I was able to share little nuggets of wisdom with people. I was able to share my life with people, my passions, what I did. And I used to have my own little Eva book club, and I used to have a list of books that and a sheet that I would put it on, and I categorized them according to, you know, what I, you know, whether it's business, whether it's career, self-help, and I was able to touch people's lives, and I didn't realize that here I was thinking I was in the beauty industry, but really what I was doing inner makeovers and helping them with their self-esteem and their confidence and building relationships. And it was just really fulfilling. So here I was, you know, for me it was not about just skincare. It was about me building relationships and helping others to not only have beautiful, flawless skin, but to have more self-confidence and self-esteem. And I would say that was like the biggest gift that was given back to me.
That's wonderful.
People loved the products and the customer service. You know, that's really what made it a success was we provided, you know, personal interaction. And I think, you know, people look for that. They need that.
Yeah, we've gotten away from that personal one-on-one with the internet. You know, people barely talk to each other. They don't talk on the phone anymore. They just email each other. So I think you're right, getting back to that service where you're meeting, interacting with people on a one-on-one basis. People are looking, they want that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I did was, I mean, my clients were like my friends. I mean, we never like coldly just looked at each other. We always hugged each other, and I'll never forget that there was this one client that came in, and she was actually very high up working for one of the big newspapers there. And I remember her coming in, and when she was leaving, I hugged her. And she kind of like just broke down, and I didn't know what happened. And she said, I just wanted you to know that I've just been so busy working and doing my stuff, so I haven't been in a while. But she says, I just want you to know I've had no human interaction. And she said, for several months, I've not even been touched or hugged.
Oh.
And that just broke my heart and made me realize how many lonely people there are in a city. So here you are in this huge city. These people that are so intelligent with such great careers and doing this stuff, but they're lonely sometimes. And you know, just that little loving touch or kindness or, you know, just that heartfelt hug or a smile, you know, what that does to somebody's life, I mean, was just, you know, I know even to this day, even though I've closed my clinic and even when I fly up to San Francisco and I'll walk down the street, I'll bump into street owners, even security guards, and they remember me. And they remember me because of who I am. And I think that's the important thing, you know, be who you are and spread a little bit of your joy and light to other people. And it comes back a thousandfold. It really does.
Absolutely. Yeah, your energy. Yeah, if you're putting out that positive energy, people will always remember that and they'll feel it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so important. And that's what I felt that I was able to do is touch people's lives. And one of the most memorable things of having the clinic over, you know, 14 years for me was the day that I closed it. And I had to close it because of health reasons and because I could no longer run it. And even though I tried to run it with employees, with me gone, it was never the same. And I remember the day I closed, there were clients that waited for me for up to 3 hours just to get a hug. Just to say bye. And it was like we were bumping into each other and crying and laughing and remembering the good times. And you know, I saw women go through their pregnancies, raise their kids. You know, here they were pregnant with a kid, and 14 years later, the kid was in getting ready to go to high school. It was amazing at how I was able to touch people's lives.
Wow, that's so wonderful. And I know you probably missed that, but
I do.
Yeah. But what was it that led you to start the SkinRx, the product line? Was it because of your clients?
Well, SkinRx was started pretty much about a few months after I started my clinic. When I started my clinic, I was using products from about four or five different professional lines that were available at the time. and a few were clinical and a few were aesthetics. And what I started doing was I created programs, and I think that was my claim to fame. I created programs for different skin conditions. And so I was taking a bit of this, a bit of that, and coming up with a program for your particular skin type. And what I found was that most of the skincare companies that I was dealing with were Caucasian product, you know, Caucasians creating products for Caucasians and trying to fit the people of color in. And so there wasn't much for the, like the global consumer. And, you know, being in a city like San Francisco, I was seeing people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came to me was that there were certain products that were missing in the realm of what I was trying to put together as a program. And it was more the medical type, you know, to change the skin, to really make a difference in the efficacy of how their skin was looking. So a friend referred me to a team of chemists. They happened to be Indian. And we hit it off. And I just started spending, you know, 3-4 afternoons a week working with them, trying to create potions that other companies didn't have. And, you know, one thing led to another, and SkinRx was kind of born. So I actually started making products before I even came up with the name SkinRx. I was doing it under Skin Rejuvenation Clinic, which was my clinic name, and then I realized that this is growing bigger, and I didn't want it under the clinic name. I wanted it to have its own entity, and that's how SkinRx was born. And, you know, the rest is history. I guess I carried a few of the other lines, but once people used SkinRx, I remember even when we made it in the beginning, I was pumping products into a jar myself, and when and I told people it had labels on, I didn't have my proper packaging done, and clients didn't care. They wanted SkinRx, and even though I have to say SkinRx's price point was higher than some of the products I was carrying, it was not an issue. They felt the difference. And that's when I really knew that I was onto something. When clients didn't mind spending more for higher quality, better efficacy products, I knew I was onto something. And then
yeah, because they want all the results. They don't care.
Yeah, they did. And I have to
say, the results.
Some of the other products that I carried, I eventually ended up donating them away to shelters and things like that because people didn't want them and they were sitting around. And so I always carried other products when I had my clinic, but when I knew that, you know, 95 or more percent of my clients were wanting just SkinRx, then I knew that I had to just expand SkinRx, and that's what I did.
I know that had to be a really good feeling for you, to, for people to, you know, to see their skin change and for them to come in and say, I want only SkinRx products.
And I tell you what, it's what kept me going. Even when I had health issues and there were days that I just really felt I couldn't do this anymore and I had to give up, a client would call. And they'd tell me how it's changed their lives, and I better not get – there were clients that called me and let me know, you better not give up because where the hell would we go, you know? And it was – I know it kind of sounded selfish, but at the time it was music to my ears to say, don't give up, you know, get back out there, do it. And the beauty is even last week I had a client that called me, and she was one of my first clients 18 years ago, and to this day she uses my products and she loves it, and now her daughter uses my products. It's just nice to know that – you know, you're helping generations of people. And again, you know, I'm my biggest fan. I believe in what I do, and I know that it's helped keep me young.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, when, you know, anyone who is starting a business, you have to be your biggest cheerleader. You have to believe in your product. You have to believe in your service or whatever it is that you're offering in your business. And because that is what's going to keep you going. That, you know, you are, like you said, we talked about earlier how the challenges will come. But when you are a big believer in it and you hear all these other clients are saying wonderful things, it's great that, you know, it keeps
you going. Absolutely, and it's what keeps you going. And
it
you
does.
Have to be your own cheerleader, of course, because if you don't believe in what you're doing, then nobody else will. And the other thing is, if there ever comes a time when you know the changes need to be made, they need to be made. I mean, through the years, of course we've had to change formulas. Of course we've had to enhance them and make them better. And I constantly research what's the latest and the greatest because I want to make sure that I always serve my clients well because it's a part – first and foremost, I'm my best client, you know, because I love my stuff. And if I remember just recently I was working on a new eye cream because I realized that, you know, I saw a wrinkle and it wasn't there yesterday and I wanted to do my best to keep it at bay.
That's great. I love that. Well, I got to tell you, I've been using your products and I love them. But we're not going to get into that long story because we don't have enough time. But I just love your products. And
thank you
every
so
time
much.
I wear them, I mean, I get, you know, advances from some young men who think I'm so much younger than what I really am, and I love
it. Isn't it lovely? I have to say, the other day I was ID'd, and I told that guy, I said, you don't realize how happy you've made me, because, you know, when you're in your late 40s and somebody's IDing you, you know you're using some skincare that's good.
Exactly. Well, that's great. So how important are the ingredients? Because I know you talked about, you know, the quality is so important. Is that what is the difference really between?
Okay, so basically, again, well, let's go back to similar to cooking. So ingredients are very important, of course. And just like you can get ingredients in the store, like, okay, let's just take a very expensive ingredient like saffron. There's several different levels of saffron. You can get saffron powder. You can get real threads of, and saffron can be a huge price range. And skincare ingredients are exactly the same. You can get low quality, the same ingredient in a lower quality form, or you can get it in a higher quality form. So ingredients are important, but the source and how it's extracted and what concentration you're using it at is very important. Now, I have to say, I know a lot of very large companies that use the ingredients, but they only use it in the minutest little pinch to give it the claim that they have it in there, but it ain't doing anything in there because they have too little of it in there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So one of the things that I feel is that use the highest quality of ingredient that you can. So, okay, what's the difference between eating a meal in a fast food joint and going to a five-star restaurant? You know, you can have the same food preparation. So say you're having a chicken sandwich at a five-star restaurant, or you're having it at a fast food restaurant. The difference is the quality. I mean, of course, there's going to be a difference in quality. The sauces are going to be different. The preparation is going to be different. Of course, you're paying a lot more for it, but that's why you're paying more for it, because there is. Now, just be careful, though. Feel the product. See it on your skin, because one of the things is there are companies that brand themselves or put it out there that they're using the best of the best, and they market it as that. So you believe that it is until you use it and you don't see a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are going to talk and they're going to market you certain things, but really go by your gut instinct. When you use a product, you'll know the difference. So you'll know the difference between going to, you know, a quick fast food place, and you'll know the difference between going to a five-star restaurant and getting the quality and the experience. So, you know, in skincare, know that with certain products that you're using, if they're using the right quality, high-quality ingredients with the right delivery systems and the efficacy, you're going to feel the difference, and you're going to see visually the difference. That's the difference.
And in what time frame? I think a lot of people are waiting, and if they don't have any
idea. I think that on average, you know, the cellular cycle of your skin is about every 28 days. So I think to really give a product a full span of trust to see if it's going to work, I think you should try it for at least three to six months.
Okay.
Before you give up. However, if you use something and your skin breaks out or you have a reaction to it, then immediately stop, by all means.
Okay.
Give it at least 3 months. If you're impatient, 3 months. If you've got patience, 6 months. And if you don't see any visual change, then it's time to change. And also find out, does the company change the formulas regularly? Because if they don't, then you're still using old technology, because technology is changing every few years.
Mm. So what about all these ads they say, you'll see wrinkles within 7 days? Are those pretty much not true?
I mean, you can use any product on the planet, and I guarantee you, if you've got wrinkles, they're not going to disappear in 7 days. You know, there are marketing gimmicks out there, and there's so much out there. I really actually feel sorry for the consumer, because it's information overload and a lot of BS that goes on. So be realistic. First and foremost, no product that goes on superficially is going to take away your crow's feet in 7 days. Especially, just remember, it took you years to get them. It's going to take you a few years to get them off.
Okay.
And once
Good.
A wrinkle is deeply set, there's no cream that's going to take it away. You're going to need procedures or fillers to remove them. The the key that I've always preached is an ounce of prevention is so important. So don't wait until your wrinkles have gone so deep you can't change them. Start prevention. So whether you're listening to this podcast and you're in your 20s, the best time to start going on to a good program is your late 20s. And then as you go on, just continue. And the more you take care of yourself, the better you're going to start looking.
Mm-hmm. So it's taking care of yourself from the inside.
There is no hope in a jar. That's just enhancing. The cream is just enhancing. The rest of it is up to you to really make sure that you're not only using good products, but you're preventing the aging from happening. So, you know, using good quality products and continuing to use them on a regular basis pays long-term dividends. You know, there's a lot of women that when I met them, they were like, oh, well, I don't wash my face at night. Oh, no, I only wash my face when I've had a really rough night, I don't wash it at all. And then the morning I was rushed and I just splashed it with water. That doesn't work. You need to commit to taking care of yourself. It's almost like a ritual you have to do. Take care of yourself morning and evening. And then long-term, you'll always look good.
Yes. Yes.
Taking that time out, you know, doing treatments, having facials, it's all maintenance. And I think, you know, this is part of your longevity maintenance that you have to do, you know?
Yeah. There was on the news today, was amazing. There was a woman who was 70 years old, and they were talking about how she looks, you know, 40 because she works out and she stays out of the sun, and she didn't have any wrinkles. I mean, this woman looked fantastic. And I just looked at her and I thought, oh my goodness. And she's writing a book called 70 is the New 40. I don't think it's out yet, but it was just such a great story.
But it's true.
Yeah.
I see more and more women. I mean, my clients, when they came to me and they were in their 30s and 40s, I mean, they're older now. They still, most of them look the same. And I think part of it is because we're not aging as much as we used to, because we do have these great resources, these great ingredients available to us, these great products that are available to us. So it is very important of how you take care of yourself. And it is an investment in yourself as well. And you've got to know where to invest and how to invest in yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is an investment, and people should not shortchange themselves when buying.
Absolutely.
Really good.
But when it comes to good quality, because your face is something, I mean, okay, any part of your body you can hide. Your face is something you can't hide. And again, going back to our topic, you know, turning your passion into your career, did you know that you're hired and fired according to how you look as well, you know? And so your presentation of who you are, it shows through your face, through your skin.
Yes, it does.
You know, so when you're glowing on the outside, you're glowing on the inside.
Good. That's so great. Yeah. So after you start your business, you also started speaking, too, it looks like it. You were doing
One of the things that I did was I realized that I tapped into some knowledge that, you know, wasn't so mainstream at the time, and that was bridging the gap of medicine and aesthetics. And I knew a lot more, obviously, about medicine than I did about aesthetics. And when I went to some of the aesthetic conferences, I realized that there was such a void back in the early 90s about, you know, bridging this gap. And so I started going to some of the conferences, and they asked me to become a speaker there. And so I did many classes and conferences for professionals to really learn a little bit more of how to diagnose skin and evaluate skin, because, you know, unless you really understood skin from a physiological point and for me on a psychological point, it was very, very hard to really recommend the best products for it. So I really wanted to teach the professionals how to do that. And the more I got into it, I started really documenting what the messages I was getting, what people were telling me, and I realized that what really was missing was kind of an education tool that they could use that could kind of give them a quick cheat sheet kind of thing. And the more research I did, there wasn't really a lot out there. There was a couple of scales that a few plastic surgeons had done or dermatologists had done, and, you know, they were describing the skin as, you know, white, brown, black, and you know, the world isn't like that. And then another one said that, you know, you get wrinkles from 20 to 30, 30 to 40, and I thought, God, there's got to be something more than that, and there wasn't. And so I thought, well, if it's not there, then I can create it, because, you know, at the time I was doing very well, and I just felt that I had the knowledge to do it. So it took me about 8 years, and I came up with a scale, and I called it the EP scale. And what I did was I was able to take our skin from our ancestral origin. So, you know, if you were Chinese, born in America, third generation, did you know your skin would still act Chinese even though you've been in America for three generations? because our ancestral pattern is still in our DNA, so our skin is still going to act like it was in China. That's how it works. So what I did was I took the ancestral pattern in and rooting from all that. I mean, what I used to have my clients fill out an evaluation. So I always asked where their country of origin or where their parents and grandparents were from. And from there, I started seeing patterns that certain skin types fell into certain categories. And from there, I developed a scale, and the scale was kind of 1 to 12, and most other scales that were on the market were 1 to 6. And so I was able to really put a lot of information in this scale, and I was asked to publish it in many magazines and medical publications, but I held off because I knew I was going to write a book one day. So I've even shortened it, so the EP scale is more for the medical professional, and the SkinRx scale is for the consumer, and I really feel that it's going to be a very valuable tool where people can look at their origin and realize what they should and shouldn't do for their skin.
Yeah, that's really needed. So how soon do you think we'll be able to get that?
I am really hoping and working as hard as I can to get some things out this year.
Great, great. Yeah, that's important information. And that's
And I have been working on a book for SkinRx, so hopefully I will be able to get something out.
Well, we are all going to be looking forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Now, Eva, I know you have a gift of seeing the trends ahead of time. What does the future look like for us today?
Well, I really do believe that we're all living a lot longer than we did before. And, you know, 18 years ago, I know I started SkinRx because I didn't want to age my skin. But today I realized that there's more. It's more about living and how we live. And the last few years, I did kind of hibernate a little bit, and I've been writing quite a bit, and I'm writing a series of books under the name of Life RX, and it's about living, and it goes deeper than just, you know, our careers and making money and, you know, watching our stocks and how much we own or have. It's going more inside and going more into really finding our core beliefs and values and living from our inner core and our essence. And it's reaching out and touching other people as well with just being who you are. So at the end of the day, it's all coming back to you. And if there's something you don't like about the outside world, change that within you. And so I really do feel that in the future, it's about raising consciousness, your own and then others. You know, just leading by example, living by example. So I've really been on this whole Life RX quest these last few years, and as you know from this podcast, that's how I started the podcast, and I'm just going to let it evolve into whatever it needs to be, but I've just met some really beautiful people along the way. It's been lovely interviewing people and really reaching out and realizing that, you know, the skin was the outer shell of the inner me, and now I've found this other side, which is all about journeying inward and seeing the reflection on the outside.
That's important, and I think for anyone who is starting a business right now, I think people need to go inside first and figure out, you know, what's really going on with themselves to kind of help them.
I think this is a great time to really reshuffle and just know that what goes on the outside does affect us. I mean, whether it's a natural disaster or an earthquake, whatever happens in another country, it's all energetically affecting us as well. So, you know, to go deeper in just makes you find who you are and come out with your true strength, because you don't have to try as hard. I find that you put so much more energy on the exterior of your life, and if you just put that much energy on the interior of who you are, but that requires discipline. You know, giving up certain things that you know are not good for you, making certain lifestyle choices that are better choices for you. Again, all of this goes back to anti-aging, making you look better, feel better, making better choices for your life.
Yes.
And, you know, again, all of going inside will really make you tap into your own passion and really seeing where you're at. And the more you work on your inner self and who you are, you really do start exuding it on the outside, and people want to be around you. You know, you become this ball of light and essence that everybody wants to be around. And it's not about being the most popular. It's just about being you and being you naturally. And I have to say, when you get into those phases, you don't want to socialize all the time. You don't want to be out there and be popular and go out drinking and partying. It's about really finding you and enjoying you. Mm. And anybody who cannot spend time alone, needs to go out and be alone, because you can't find yourself unless you're alone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a journey inward, and I think that's really what the future quest is. And just by going into yourself and taking care of your body, by the way, your body is your vehicle. So that's another whole show that we will do, but it's very important to take care of your body. What you put into it is what's going to show up on the outside.
Absolutely. So you can always know that someone's not eating very well by the look of their skin.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I see a lot of people at the gym, and they're really, you know, health conscious and stuff, and then they eat one of these bar things that's totally processed food. And, you know, my thing to eating correctly is, if your grandmother doesn't know what it is, you shouldn't be eating it.
I love that.
Because you really should eat what your ancestral diet is. And so when we've moved to the West, people from other countries that have moved West that try to adapt to the Western diet, sometimes it's good to go back to your own home diet as well occasionally. And again, I believe that, you know, if it comes in a package, if it doesn't come off of a tree or out of the ground or natural, try and eat as much healthy, wholesome foods as you can, and try to stay away from processed foods.
Mm.
Very, very important for the future.
Right. And well, Eva, this has been a... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Drink lots of water.
Yeah.
Fresh water
right.
is good for you. And don't necessarily get caught up in that whole bottled water thing, but drink fresh, good, healthy water.
And put some lemon and lime in it. That always
Oh, lemon is such a good detoxifier of the liver and an alkali. So, yeah, lemon is fantastic in your water.
Yeah.
So that's a good little tip.
Mm-hmm. And I drink that all throughout the day, and it's so refreshing, too. It's, you know, I love it, so it really helps. Well, I got to tell you, this has been a wonderful, wonderful interview, and I just have one more question. Since, you know, this is about turning your passion into your career, what would you say, what's one last bit of advice you would give to someone who is listening, who really wants to take, you know, a chance, take that leap of faith and to turn her passion into a career or his passion into a career? And how do they kind of get over the fear of doing that? What should
well,
they
one
do?
One of the things is, depending on what it is that they're thinking of doing, I think fear is really just, I think, an obstacle that is a self-created prophecy. And so if you can just go deeper into yourself and see what that fear looks like, and normally it's this little puppy that you've turned into this big bad wolf, so it's small. However, if you're thinking of changing your career and starting your own business and you're really scared of how you're going to do it, go work in the business, go work in the industry and learn about it before you leap into it. So even for me, I actually had worked in medicine and worked in plastic surgery, which was my little stepping stone to get into skincare. So just go work in whatever environment, like say you wanted to start a coffee shop of your own. One of the best things you could do is go work for a coffee shop. Learn all the ins and outs about it by working in it first to realize, is that for you? And that's
Good.
A great way to learn what you can do. Go volunteer. Do internships. People would love to get an extra pair of hands. Go reach out to people who have already started a career and say, can I work for you for free for a little while? I did it.
Yeah,
go work for somebody
great.
For free for a little bit. Volunteer a couple of hours a week. Learn the trade. Understand it from every angle. And it's the best time you could ever spend, and you'll be doing something good.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's a great way to learn. Even if it's a career you want to get into, there are so many opportunities out there that people will be willing to open doors for you if you're willing to. I mean, one of the first things I'd say, go get the book Think and Grow Rich and read it by Napoleon Hill. And, you know, there's a lot of persistence and persuasion that's throughout the whole book. And I have to say that's been kind of a little bit of a book that I've always referred to. And it just tells you to just keep going and never giving up. And some of the stories that he shares are some of the experiences that you need to continue doing. And today it's even easier because of all the internet that we have and the easy access to people. But get out of comfort zone, away from your computer, and go do it.
Good.
It's a physical process. It's not necessarily just a mental and doing things online. It's going out there and creating the relationships.
Wonderful. Well, Eva, for anyone who wants to know more about, you know, the SkinRx products, where can they go to find it?
Oh, the best place to go is www.skinrx.com. And if they have any specific questions, they can email me at info@skinrx.com.
Thank you, Eva. I want to say thank you.
I
hope this was fun for you.
I know it was. It was lovely. It was nice to be on the other end. I didn't realize how much work the interviewees have to do.
Well, you're a good interview.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm sure the listeners are going to love this show.
I'm sure they will too.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope I was able to inspire you to turn your passion into your career. So don't forget, give us a call or email us at liferxpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 415-322-8777. We'd love to hear your feedback, so share with us your emails. Please don't forget to give us a review on iTunes as well. So thanks again and stay tuned for the next show, because we'll have even more next week. Thank you and namaste.